Thank you. As human beings, we concern ourselves with the passage of time. Now, at a young age, time moves slowly. It just seems to creep along. Some things appear to go on, and we wonder if they will ever end. At other times, we anticipate and look forward to the next event, impatient that it has not yet arrived. Halloween is barely over when the child may ask, how many days until Christmas? And since a child has no real concept of time, those days until Christmas appear to be eternal. As we grow a little older, we measure time according to how long it takes us to accomplish something. We consider our long-term ambitions, the ones concerning education and employment, and we may ask, how many years of college or advanced training are required in order to meet those goals? When is the ideal time to get married and start a family? And then there is the matter of what we do with our time on a regular basis. What are our hobbies? What do we do for pleasure? How do we measure our success and our satisfaction? What if we don't like what we are doing? Now, we may look around us and be a little disappointed. We had expected that at a certain point in time that this or that would have happened, and it didn't. Or perhaps it did happen, but it did not bring the satisfaction that we had hoped for. So now what do we do? Do we need to make a change? Being concerned with the passage of time, we then set our goals and ambitions and proceed to judge according to what has been put into place. Now, as we travel through life, we do notice that time seems to go a little faster. At some point, we might even say that time seems to fly right on by. that we are forced to ask, where did it go? As a child, we wondered if Christmas would ever arrive. As an adult, we wonder how it could possibly have come so quickly. When we first concern ourselves with the passage of time, we do so with the idea of putting things in place, setting goals, and fulfilling aspirations. Now, as we grow a little older, we begin to reflect in a different way. Our view of life, well, it may change. And then we see things a little differently. We may still concern ourselves with the passage of time, but this time we begin to ponder what it is that we have done with the time. Exactly how was it that we filled our days, our months, and our years? How do we account for ourselves? And most importantly, are we content with what we have done? Was our life experience merely a time of busyness, going from one thing to another, picking it up and putting it down, moving on to the next activity or event that got our attention? Or do we spend our years projecting ourselves into some future date when we were certain that we would reap our reward? And what about the moment? Were we ever able to have the benefit of the moment and what it would bring? Were we so busy with the doing that we did not take time to enjoy what it was that we were doing? If our true goal in experience is the fullness of life, did our busyness allow this to happen? And now we are left with the question, exactly what is that sensation that we do call fulfillment and satisfaction? How does it feel? Are we able to find it in those things that we say we want to accomplish and achieve? Those things we consider to be our success. Now, what we call success in a material way, it moves around and it changes. It changes according to our idea of what it should be. Now, if fullness of life is obtained in this way, then what happens when we move about and change? Does it go with us? Or is it a temporary condition that we left behind, dependent on the attitude of the moment? And what is this thing called happiness? Well, we want to know what works, and one way to find out is to ask others what has worked for them. When an individual reaches an advanced age of, let's say, 100 years old, people gather around in celebration, asking them how they were able to live so long. Having arrived at that ripe old age, could they share with us the reason for their longevity? Was it the food they ate or didn't eat? Did they exercise? How did they fill their time? And most of all, were we able to attain a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction? Did family and friends have a role to play? Are they happy? And if so, what brought them happiness? Well, needless to say, each one will answer in their own way. Now, one may tell us that the reason for their longevity was that they did not smoke or drink, and they attended church on a regular basis. Now, while this might be true for some, others might credit their longevity to that glass of wine every evening, father buy a cigar? And no, they're not particularly religious. Can't even remember the last time they were in a church. The real revelation comes in their comments concerning the fullness of life. Having lived so many years, they have seen and they have experienced many things. They have experienced birth and death. People have come into their lives. They stayed for a while, and then they moved on for a variety of reasons. They have witnessed success and failure. They have noticed the advancement of technology, and they view most of it in a positive way. They have lost things of value and gained others. They also know of those uptimes, the downtimes concerning supply and health. The wisdom of age allows them to sift through those temporary times, praising what they found to be lasting, the things that had value and meaning for them. And they tell us that their idea of these things changed over time. Personal responsibility seems to be the determining factor. They advise us to be flexible, to be open to what life brings us. And when we fail to do so, we suffer. And yes, they do admit that they have done some suffering in their time of experience. That senior citizen speaks of friendship and of family. They speak of attitude and of commitment. And most of all, they give us their opinion about life based on what they have learned. Because you see, at their age on this earth plane, they have more time behind them than what lies ahead of them. And so they speak about life and how their ideas about life has changed. They are no longer concerned about time. They understand it comes and it goes. Sometimes it flies and sometimes it moves slowly. But now their attitude and their focus is given to a different direction. They ponder and reflect on life itself, wondering what it will be like to be freed of the material form. They have tested and tried what belonged to the outer, and they found it to be lacking in stability. They understand that their next move, it will take them to a different dimension of life, one that speaks of eternal existence, one that is not touched or concerned by time and space. In contemplating the verities of life, we do consider religion. Now, some individuals, they are not stirred in this way, and they dismiss it. They view the material form as their reality, accepting the idea that when the life force leaves the body, then that is it. Now, I'm not so sure that this attitude brings a sense of fulfillment, but each must find peace with his conclusions. Now, those who are stirred in a religious way, they awaken to a life that speaks of eternity. The awakening takes place in us, in that aspect of being that does not know about the passage of time, with its limitations, its conditions. Intuitively, we sense that true fulfillment of life belongs to that one of inner being. Now, the one who is interested in attaining the fullness of inner being discovers this passage in the Bible in Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. The thinking individuals read this, and they conclude that they must be counted among those who dwell within. They are aware that they are that being of material form, and yet, if the Lord is responsible for the earth, the fullness thereof, and of all that dwell therein, then they reason that they too must also be subject to the fullness of the Lord's activity. They ponder, they contemplate, and they learn. And this is the revelation. The whole world is God made manifest. Without him, nothing was made that was made. God is the air that we breathe. Each of us can breathe all that we want, and we will not exhaust the supply of air. There is no limit to the water in the ocean. Each of us may dip our container in the ocean, carrying away a certain amount. But the ocean does not care. God is its source, and God cannot be depleted. God is the life of the sea. There may be times of feast and famine, but there will always be the life in the sea. God's life cannot be exhausted or depleted. God fulfills itself as the intelligence of the bird, the fish, the animal, and the plant. Again, I say, what is contained in God's creation cannot be exhausted, limited, or depleted. But what does this mean for the individual? What does it mean for us? When we read the passage in Psalm 24:1, we understand we are subject to the Lord's activity. Remember the senior citizens? They advised us to be open and receptive to what life brings us. And when it brings us information concerning our divine nature, then something is required of us. In attempting to find the fullness of life, that one of inner being, well, we must first make contact with the Father within. We must release that idea that we held of us as being that man of the dust. It means that we must surrender that little ego that says, I am it, trusting the inner being to be the one of revelation. Truth reveals that God fulfills itself as us. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. There is no place where God is not. And we can make this personal. We give recognition individually in this way. God is the life of my body, of every aspect of my being. God is the activity that circulates my blood and digests my food. God is the life of my lungs and my heart and my liver. God is the source of every concept and idea given from within. God is the source of every good gift, also known as the fruit of the Spirit. And when we live from that place of inner being, we are consciously one with that creative activity, God's activity, that maintains us and sustains us. And we should allow it to do its work. Now, we are told that God has an infinite storehouse of blessings awaiting our attention and acceptance. So back to the senior citizens, when they advised us to be flexible, to be open to what life brings us. When stirred from within, the life we concern ourselves with, it is the spiritual one. And what it brings is knowledge of a life that cannot be depleted or exhausted. Now the bird, the fish, the animal, and the plant, they all allow the intelligence in them to live them and move them. They do not question the direction. They are not concerned about their size or their shape. They are not concerned about their fragrance or their DNA. They trust and they obey the inner prompting to do its work. I would say that they are living the fullness of life as it pertains to their species, their purpose, and their reason for being. The Bible speaks of the abundant life that is available to the one willing to receive it. We are told it is the Father's pleasure to give us his kingdom of harmony, health, peace, joy, and love. It is his pleasure to give fulfillment that satisfies the longing of the soul, and it is ours for the taking. But unlike the bird, the fish, the animal, and the plant, we do have the capacity to think, and we get all caught up in our ability to do so. We think after us in a personal way. We do think about us according to our shape and our size. We think about us according to our age, our race, and our gender. And yes, we are concerned about our DNA. The presence of God in us, it is our identity. But when we live as that human being, we are as that branch that is cut off from the tree. We are living as that man of dust, and we have no idea what could be meant by the fullness of life. Now, scientists have discovered that it is natural for us to move forward, onward, and upward, that something in us demands that we do so. Now, they point to the advancements in technology, medicine, inventions, and every scientific endeavor as proof that this is so. Ancient mystics and holy men, they have discovered the same thing. They identify this natural impulse as the indwelling presence desire to express. But it requires our cooperation to do so. It comes into expression through us, through the activity in individual consciousness. Now, as human beings, we live in the process side of life. We require growth and unfoldment as the natural way of coming to know about anything. We usually begin our work with thought. After all, that's where we are, caught up in our ability to think. Many individuals intellectually entertain the idea that there is a God. They may even conclude there is an activity that creates and expresses. But because it has not yet become a personal experience, they keep this activity outside of them. But others, they have been stirred in an inward way, and yes, they are on the path. Now, the great mistake that we make at first is to seek outside us. We simply do not realize that the true riches are within. The riches within being are what constitute fullness of life. And if our goal is fullness of life, then we really do need to get serious about where it is that we will find it. And as always, when we take on a new idea, depends on us, our attitude, our acceptance, and our willingness to allow it to grow and unfold. Whatever good is to appear in our lives must appear as the result of the activity of truth in our consciousness. Now, some of us don't really like to hear this. We say that in divine science we speak way too much about consciousness. And yet, How can that be? Think about it. Acceptance and rejection, they're activities in consciousness. Consciousness is our seat of awareness. It's where we become aware of anything and everything. It's there when we pick and choose, consider and decide. And it is there where we reach our conclusions. It is there where we grow and unfold into deeper understanding of life. You might say that our individual consciousness is our workshop. And the work we do, it may either be illumined or unillumined. I mentioned that when we begin our work, we usually begin in the realm of thought, accepting according to experience, and we especially listen to the testimony of those five senses. So in the early stages, this is not an illumined consciousness. We are still tilling in the soil of uncertain ideas. But that is the way of growth and unfoldment. When that seed is first planted in the ground, it contains the complete idea of expression, but it must unfold to its true potential. So it is with us. Truth is the illumined idea planted in the soul of man. And as we continue to till in the soil of human experience, we grow in wisdom, unfolding to our full potential as a conscious child of God. This is the true fullness of life, and it is ours. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to that presence that is always there. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of silence, let us relax our bodies, close our eyes, and become still. In the stillness, the world melts away. There's no thought, no distraction, nothing to disturb the one who sits in the silence. In this place of peace, we know that God is here. This is the place of holy ground. In the sanctuary of inner being, we hear marvelous things. Be not afraid. I am here. Do not concern yourself with your life, which you shall eat or drink. Before you call, I have already answered. Be still and listen is the command of revelation. This morning, let us be the one who sits in the silence and listens. Let us be the one who hears that still small voice of assurance and comfort. And as we begin a new week of experience, we understand we are not alone. The promise is, turn to me and I will turn to you. This coming week, let us take time to be holy, go often to that place of stillness and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.